and can imagine Baba coming from the kitchen toward the bedroom, and I was coming from the living room into that hall. As I approached the cross hall, Baba, much to my surprise, he always surprises me, you know. He always, just like he jumps out from behind a tree and says, "I'm here, here I am." But here he was. I mean, it was just like that. And I noticed him, and I stepped back. I guess my sort of instinct or manners or something asserted it. But he motioned for me to go. He went like this, as though he wanted me to precede him. And fortunately, my manners did not prevail. I immediately stepped in front of him and went on into the bedroom. I don't remember where he went. I don't remember seeing him again in the house. But that I do remember. And then at our parting on that afternoon, well, prior to that, he gave prasad. It was a very lighthearted, happy, I guess it was something like he would do with the manali. He gave prasad, you know, he would look at one person and toss it to another person. It was a very happy, playful. He didn't allow us to become solemn and overwhelmed with our being there. But at one point he said that we were to line up to his left, the gate, and up this way. He was seated near the compound fence, facing the house, if you can imagine that. And he told us that we should, one by one, come to him, kiss him, and go. I remember Lud Dimple preceded me. And as I came up to Baba and kissed his cheek, I never, ever felt happier. What a privilege. What a blessing. And so I kissed his cheek and I went out through the gate, and I really think I was 3 feet off the ground, and I saw Lud going ahead of me down toward the center. And that's all I remember. We were walking behind Baba on the road beside the original kitchen when this incident happened. A lady came running to Baba, crying, very upset, very emotional. And two of the manali closed ranks, so to speak. Not that they thought this lady was going to harm Baba, of course, but there were times when he was not to be touched, for whatever reason. And so she's crying and she's saying, "Baba, Baba, how can I love you when I can't love my own daughter?" And Baba gestured and said to her, "Your tears are the proof of your love." Such a simple, direct statement that he made to her, that quieted her, that stopped her tears. And we heard later that later on she and her daughter had established a warm, loving relationship. Another incident, as we were walking behind Baba to the barn, a lady got a small twig in her sandal or shoe. Baba's walking foremost, the lady's walking behind him. And she picked up the right foot to remove the little stick. He stopped and turned around and smiled at her, and his expression, his smile, was saying to her, as I read it, "That's all right, darling. I'll wait." This was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. And as I thought about it later on, which incidentally, all of my understanding of Baba's doings and actions and has always been in retrospect. I've never known what was happening while it was happening. I, of course, saw this, and I was very touched by it. But later on I thought, how beautiful. if he is so aware of such a little discomfort in one of his lovers. No, she was not cut, she was not really in pain. But he not only knew of it, but he acknowledged it. And he was telling her, I'll wait. How much more is he aware of our real sufferings, of our real troubles, our real pains? And that's always been so very meaningful to me, and I'm sure it must have been to her. Not only did he know what had happened behind him, which many people probably could do, but people with that kind of understanding or power or whatever would not have bothered to turn around and let her know that it was perfectly all right for her to stop and take that out of her shoe. It was these things that convinced me of his, of who he was. Although, up until the 69 darshan, I was always completely happy and satisfied with his humanity, with the form that I could see, with the expression, with, you see, I didn't think of, I always said he didn't have to be God for me. And I mean that. I know that he is. But I said, I don't care if he's a garbage man. I don't care what he is or who he is. I couldn't have done anything but love him. I didn't know anything about God. What does God have to, what credentials does he have to please me? He didn't ask me for any. He didn't say, have you been a good boy? You've done this and you've done that. I'm finished with you. See, there was no bargaining in our meeting, in our the first awareness of our love to me. No judging, no condemning. I felt no guilt, felt no shame. The first and only person that I ever met that loved me truly, completely, unconditionally. I always felt that I had to do something or be something to gain someone's love, to earn it or to win it or to steal it. Not with him. No. There was no airport at Myrtle Beach at that time, and so we traveled to Wilmington Airport for the parting, you might say, physically at any rate. Baba was sitting on a concrete bench. This building, by the way, is no longer there, so don't go there and look for the bench. He was sitting on a bench, and we were all gathered in front of him in sort of a crescent, just loving him. I guess all of us were kind of thinking this might be our last few moments with him, but I didn't feel any sense of sorrow. He rose from that bench, walked a few feet to his right, and entered a men's room that was marked colored. At this time, you see, there were those separations by law. I felt a sort of happiness when I saw him do that. I don't know why. In a few moments, he came back out into the big room, walked to his right again, and sat at a bench on the other, against the other wall. And just in moments, we heard somebody call Peg Andy. You see, Baba referred to us as Peg Andy. He put our names together. He put our hearts together. So we were surprised to hear someone call our name, but we hurried over to Baba. And I only recall that we didn't feel comfortable standing when he was seated. So I don't remember how, but somehow we were at eye to eye level. And Baba made his fists and held them out to our faces, very close to our faces. We could see the white knuckles, you see. And he would hold his fist over in front of Peggy's face and in front of my face. And as he did it, He said, hold fast to my Dhamma. And looking very intently in our eyes, it was as though he was saying, do you understand? I mean this. I want you to remember this. Hold fast to my Dhamma. And back and forth he went. He said then, gestured, no matter what happens, hold fast. And before we realized it, the interview was over. The interview that we had so desperately wanted all the time came at the last moments. And so only maybe a minute later, he got up and walked out to the tarmac to board the plane. They had one of those little stairways, you know, these little metal stairways that they push up to the little planes on the little airports. And we hurried over to the foot of those stairs knowing that he would go that way and we wanted to be close to it. And as he started up those steps, I reached out with my right hand and took the hem of his garment, his dhamma, in my fingers and held on to it as long as I could without tugging or without disturbing him. So my last physical touch with my beloved was his dhamma. But that's not the dhamma he was talking about, as you know. He was talking about the dhamma of remembering him, of loving him. And when he tells us to hold on to his dhamma, he doesn't put us on our own. He doesn't say, now I've told you, you must do it, and if you don't do it, forget it. He holds on to his dhamma with our hands, with our hearts. He never tells you to do something and then cuts you loose. He's just simply telling you that this is going to happen by his grace. So then he went up those steps and got on the plane. The plane taxied down to the right, to our right, turned around, and with the roar of the propellers, we saw him as through a glass dimly. We saw his beautiful face and his hand waving. And he took off into the clouds. And that was the last time we saw him in form. To think that these few moments and all the eons of time that have happened, that God in his infinite mercy and compassion gave me, touched my soul and brought me to life.